Thanks again to everyone that's read, that's helped us start the meeting. And I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome those who've joined us since we first started. Particular welcome to any visitors, and a huge welcome to any newcomers to NA, newcomers to our meeting tonight. We hope you hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So we are a speaker meeting, and I understand Vaughan is going to introduce our speaker this evening. So Vaughan, my friend, over to you.
Hello everybody, my name is Vaughan and I'm an addict.
Hello Vaughan.
Hi Vaughan.
Hi Vaughan. Hi Vaughan.
Hi everybody. Thanks Steve for your service. Thank you Jay as well. It is a privilege for me to introduce the speaker. He does a lot for Narcotics Anonymous in my down here in South Africa. But most importantly, he is a very dear and special friend to me and my family. He's got a, I always get something out of his shares. We're just gonna hand it straight over to him. So Richie, if I may, the floor is yours, brother. Thank you guys, thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Vaughan.
Thanks, Vaughan.
Thanks, Vaughan.
Thanks, Vaughan. Hi, my name is Richie and I'm an addict.
Hi, Red. Welcome.
Richie.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to be at a meeting tonight. And I mean, it's a Saturday night. Maybe not so many years ago, but I definitely at some point in my life wouldn't have been aware of my gratitude at being able to just sit still and spend some time with people in recovery. Just a little bit of my boring backstory. I'm South African, and I was listening to all the interesting dialects, and I thought to myself, we're all speaking English, right? But it sounded like it was so completely different. So I felt right at home. I knew I couldn't be judged on the basis of my accent. Part of my story, and really for me, probably the first time I became aware of myself as being on this earth was extremely painful to me. It was as a result of my having been abused. And so the filters that I assumed from that age for me were really cynical. I didn't want to believe much of what I experienced. I couldn't accept any kind of love. I didn't want to take any direction. I was completely self-absorbed. And maybe as a means of protecting myself, I built walls around myself so that I didn't feel like I had to lose anything else. That kind of loss of innocence for me was traumatic, and that's probably one of my first memories of awakening as a being on this earth. So it was quite harrowing. And so eventually, when I did pick up and I used for the first time, it felt like there was an ingredient added to my life that made me different. I'd already believed that I was completely alien, and picking up for me was just reinforced this idea that I was having this different experience. And even though I was using with people, I always felt that my experience with drugs was even different to theirs. I used myself, and I used for about 7 years, and I amassed a lot of consequences, at the end of which, through, I believe, the intervention of my higher power, I eventually got to treatment. And the first awakening from that pain that I had for me came in the form of my step four. I remember writing down stories about myself, the consequences that I'd had, the dangerous situations I found myself in, and I was completely nonchalant about those. I could not conceive that almost being locked up and choosing to do it again probably wasn't the hallmark of sanity. And in fact, I didn't really did not want to care. I did not want to be stopped. I just wanted to be absent and not feel, and I continued for as long as I could, up until I became desperate enough to stop. So when I read the stories that I'd written that in retrospect were really horrific and were dangerous and were multiple cries for help, when I read those step one through to three, I was completely unaffected. I just felt like it was some other Richie that had done that stuff. And I was stuck in an environment where I didn't understand how speaking about my problems or the things that had happened to me or even writing about it would be beneficial to me at all. I looked at the other addicts that were with me in this institution and I judged them. I thought that they allowed themselves to be brainwashed. And I, for sure, with my, in inverted commas, superior intellect, would figure this out. You know, I would get behind the con. And that level of arrogance probably was a hallmark of my using as well. But I awoke when I did my very first step four. And the step four will always be like a step one to me, because in that step, by grace, I guess, I was able to let go of a lot of the resentments that I'd held against my parents, against my perception of society, against my religious practices up to that point. The God of my understanding as well was not immune to my judgment. I felt that, why would all of this have happened in a world where I was supposed to have been protected? And I really, really, I don't think I, for me, it wasn't even, I couldn't say that I hated anyone. I'd lived with that feeling for so long. But I was completely apathetic. I felt unaffected even by even thinking of God. I was completely, I just did not care. When I did my step four, what shifted for me in a very big way was my own need for wanting to be forgiven. And I, up to that point, I couldn't see or was able to take responsibility for most of my life, and the decisions that I'd made. And the fact that it was a choice for me to hang on to my resentments, and it was a choice for me to use those in order for me to justify my own using. And a big part of what happened or changed for me in step four was around the concept of forgiveness. It was the ability to be able to see my own fallible nature, and by extension, that of others. I remember thinking to myself, shit, well, now I can't be upset about this guy that did whatever he did to me when he did it. And the next moment, being confronted by the idea that he probably didn't remember, and that maybe he may have been damaged as well. And that was really the start for me in terms of my recovery. I remember crying. I couldn't cry for much. I didn't cry when I lost people who were dear to me, who loved me. I was just completely unaffected. But I cried that day at the immensity of realizing what I'd done to myself. And I remember absolutely feeling like this weight had been lifted off my shoulders. And probably for the first time in a long time, I could actually breathe, where I could feel my inhalation reaching my lungs, and the exhalation expelling all of this air. And I cried for I don't even know how long. And I knew that I'd never done anything that had brought me or gotten me to this point where I could realize that maybe I actually did want to change, and perhaps that there is some hope for me to live a different life than the one that I'd narrowly escaped. And I started working the steps. Even though I didn't understand what they were all about or what they were meant to accomplish, I realized that somehow they were the only two up to that point that got me to a different realization. And I kept on working them. And eventually when I left the treatment center, I became, active in my local fellowship. And even then, when I joined, when I looked around in the rooms where I joined, there weren't a lot of brown people that looked like me. So my initial introduction to the fellowship was, again, one of difference. I looked around the rooms and I couldn't see someone that looked like me. And I was like, well, you know, now it's really like what happens in the movies. Like, this doesn't happen to black people. And Richie, you're really screwed. I mean, look at the situation that you'd gotten yourself into. And it was just a matter of time before I was joined by people that looked like me. Because one thing I know about this disease is that it's indiscriminate. It does not discriminate between, there's nothing that is too anything for the disease of addiction. And it affects everyone. In the process of, and my second round of steps for me was when I had another moment of clarity. And I realized that all of these ideas I held about life were probably outdated beliefs, and that I could change them. I thought that I was going to die being a sinner, because that was what I was taught. I was beyond redemption. And so when I did the second round of steps, to me, there was such a clear message around my own return to innocence. It was about undoing a lot of the things that I'd done or believed about myself that really did not help me be a better human being, or any of those things. So I was very excited about my second round of steps, because it literally felt to me like I was becoming that innocent child who could look at the world and be in awe and be excited. So I found that gift in my second round of steps. So every time that I redid them, there was always a new moment of clarity for me, whether it was before, during, or after having completed a round of the 12 steps. I became really active in service because I felt everyone else was doing a shit job. And I learned as part of doing service that my ideas aren't always the best. And that really there is, for me, a lot of value in that kind of collaboration. I've also found a platform in doing service for me to be able to exercise the talents that I have, because up to that point, there were things that I could not believe about myself. I couldn't believe that I was able to lead in a way that is not about my ego. You know, and I've learned that our higher conscience or our group conscience is an expression of my higher power's will. You know, so I'm okay. I've become okay with accepting that outcome. My approach to my recovery is always around learning, but also about creating and having room for myself and others to truly be themselves. For me, a big gift was when I realized I do a lot of meditation and like silence practice and things like that, because my mind is like a movie theater, like a 24-hour marathon movie theater. But I've also realized that I can buy the ticket but choose not to watch the show. And part of that process is for me is to meditate. And I've realized in meditation that there truly is no difference between myself and someone else. And that's always the way, well, that's become the way that I approach most of the interactions that I have, because for me, all of the drama that happens in between my personality and someone else's is really not the truth for me. What's true is that I'm in a better position to love myself better. And because I can love myself, I can truly love someone else. And then so it doesn't really matter whether I believe their actions are screwy or screwed up or whatever. I do not have a perfect record myself, and I really cannot assume to be arrogant enough to be able to judge anyone. And that for me is the perfect place to do service from. It really is to take a step back consciously and ask, well, how is it that I serve? And that for me is an area where my recovery comes alive. I don't like sharing. I feel like words for me sometimes is just a trap, because it is constantly talking about myself. Even when I tell my story, it's about myself. When I speak of my recovery, it's about myself. And for me, it's less about that kind of talking, but putting in the action and doing the work. So I much rather prefer to be in the background. But sometimes I do get called upon to share what's worked for me. And it isn't any different to what other addicts have experienced and have explained to me worked for them. And when I adopt that kind of open-mindedness and become humble enough to, when I don't understand, ask for help, I am helped. So, yeah, I'm just in awe of this program's ability whatever's currently happening globally is such a massive changing event. And usually for the old Richie, it would have been such a cause for anxiety and panic because it meant that there was not anything that I could do to try and control the situation. But I'm so at peace. And it's probably like it's so weird because I think of what's out there and what's going on and that these things are real and the impacts on people's lives. And it's not that I'm apathetic, but I understand that in the process of my own recovery, the only thing that's remained unchanged is the fact that things will change. And I think just for today, I'm a lot better at rolling with the punches. I've met some really amazing people as part of doing service and being a part of this fellowship. I haven't seen some of their faces like any of yours yet. But I've also learned that it's only over when it's over, you know, like it is not the end until it's the end. So that's why I'll keep on saying yet, because tomorrow I've got another opportunity and I don't know whether I would be in a position to be fortunate enough to meet some of you. I'm very grateful for the spirits that came before who found this program and who have made it accessible to me in such a way that I can understand, I can drop my own judgment of others and myself, and I can apply these principles that teach me to continue no matter what. So I'm really, and when I connect with that gratitude, I have the capacity to be able to give back. And it doesn't feel like it's being robbed of me or it's an unrealistic expectation. And this is part of what I need. I need that. I need to feel useful in that way. And I'm okay with it. I robbed in my active addiction. And so this opportunity is it's part of an ongoing amends for me. It's not atonement. It's an amend. I understand that I took a lot. And so I'm privileged enough to be able to, whether it's my time or just access or even just the kindness, I can do that if I choose to. So I'm really happy for the opportunity to be asked to share. I hope that my accent wasn't too contrary or too South African, too Boerewors-y. But yeah, I've learned to appreciate the differences as well. I'm very grateful to be a part of this growing fellowship that accommodates change to allow for us to connect with each other, even virtually. It's such a blessing to be a part of a fellowship that has some foresight. So thank you very much for all that you do for me, all that you've done for me. I'm grateful to be a part of, and I'll leave it there. Thank you.